Good morning. I'd like to kick things off this morning by making a few announcements. Just a reminder, today is the last day to sign up for poinsettias for Christmas. So be sure to take a look at that and consider what you wish to do there. Second, community Thanksgiving service is Monday, the 19th at 7 p.m. at Sacred Heart Church. I would also call your attention to the Deacon's Lunch Ministry on the 17th. That'll be the lunch ministry for our Saturday feeding, and they need help with servers and help with financial support. So whatever you can do to lend a hand there would be appreciated. Finally, I would call your attention to the order of worship today. When the deacons come down to get the plates, collect offering, bring the plates back, they will recess, and then we will have the rededication service for our pledges, so for our commitment cards. So just be mindful of that in the order of worship. Let us now worship God. Let's all join in the responsive call to worship. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord guards the city, the guards keep watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest. We shall put all trust in the Lord who gives rest to God's beloved. Let us worship God. Let us join as we sing a hymn of praise, hymn 482, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Join me now for the unison prayer of confession, followed by a time of silent prayer in which we can share our hearts with our God. Join me. Merciful God of compassion and justice, take pity on us as we confess our sin. We are not the stewards Christ called us to be. Riches possess us while others go hungry. We mismanage creation with our pollution and strife. Your goodness is betrayed by our lust for power. We abuse your provision for us by our selfish desires. Help us hear once again Christ's call not to be faithful, and through him forgive us as we repent of our sin and turn from it. Amen. Just as we are called upon to confess our sins, we are also assured of pardon. Join me in the responsive assurance of pardon. Remember the words of Scripture where it says, "For Christ has entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." Sacrifice of himself. All who repent and eagerly await him have the assurance that their sins are forgiven.
All right, the microphone's on. And I think I've got something that many people here are familiar with. I'll bet you a buck that you've seen this book before, haven't you? Have you seen this book before? This is a book that many people in the audience probably have seen here. It's called The Giving Tree. Yes. What is on the back is a picture of the author, Shel Silverstein. Now, this is an interesting story because it's a story about love and a story about giving. That's why they call it a giving tree. And to make it short, rather than turning every page, because I bet a lot of you already know this story, it's a story about a little boy and a tree who have a great relationship. When the boy is really little, they play in the leaves together and they have a good time. As the boy gets a little bit older, he looks at the tree and he says, I need some money. And the tree says, I don't have anything but apples, but you can have the apples and sell them and you can have money. And the boy was happy and the tree was happy. Then a little bit later, the boy grew up a little bit and he had some things he was worried about. And he said he wanted to build a house because he wanted a family. So he went to the tree and the tree was talking to him. He said, I need to build a house. And the tree said, you can have my limbs. So the little boy cut off all the limbs of the tree and built a house. Well, then the boy got a little bit older and older, and he finally decided he'd done with his house, and he went to the tree, and he said, "Tree, I want to build a boat and sail away." And the tree said, "Well, you can have the trunk and build a boat out of that." Well, what happens if the tree, and the tree was happy every time he gave him gifts? He said, "I'm so happy." After the tree gave away all the leaves, all the limbs, all the apples, and all the trunk, what's left? just the stump, right?
And the roots.
Well, the later in the book, the way the book ends is the boy grows up and he comes back and he's pretty tired. And he says, tree, all I really need is a place to sit and be quiet and take a rest. And the tree says, all I have is a stump left. And he said, that's good. And the tree was happy and the boy was happy. That's why he called it the giving tree. The tree gave everything it could give and was always happy. And it's a good symbol of what we're supposed to learn, that giving is all about loving first and then giving to say thank you because it makes us happy. That's a pretty safe story to read on a giving day, isn't it? Especially when we're talking about Thanksgiving and getting ready for Christmas. Remember, the giving is because it's fun. It did have one, yeah. It's got giving right there in the title. Oh, sorry. Let's take a quick prayer. Dear God, thanks for loving us. Thanks for all the things you give us. Help us remember to say thank you. Amen.
I'm looking forward to what John has to say, but that was a great, great lesson there. Let's join in the prayer for illumination. Gracious Lord, help us now to listen carefully and prayerfully to your word that we may learn how to be more faithful disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's Old Testament lesson comes to us from the book of Ruth. And our selection is Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Please follow along. One day Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, and this is Ruth they're talking about, my mother, my daughter, shall I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you are there until he is finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go down and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. And then chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse and the father of David. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Thank you to Tom for a wonderful children's message, and also to Heather and the choir for a powerful anthem. We are here to celebrate our Stewardship Sunday, to kind of rededicate ourselves to the family of God. And we read the story of Ruth earlier, and now we go to our gospel lesson, which is also a story of giving, in Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 38. Here once again, the word of God. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, to be greeted with respect in the marketplace, and to have the best seats in the synagogue and the place of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearances say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." I always kind of tremble when I read that passage, and I'd stand here before you in these long robes. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth about a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Steve Mullen once told a story about a Lutheran pastor from central Iowa. And this particular Lutheran pastor had an avocation for carpentry. And that's why he was spending a month's vacation on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. His goal that month was to build a new bathroom for the community there. On the last day of his vacation, a Native American girl approached him, and in her outstretched hand, she had a nickel. "Here," she said, "I want you to have this." The pastor was mortified. He said, No, I can't take your nickel. You keep it. "Please take it," the girl insisted. "Besides, I have another one." And she opened up her other hand and exposed another shiny new nickel. Out of respect to that generous little girl, the girl who was wanting to give away half of what she had, the pastor took her nickel, placed it in his pocket. But the story doesn't end there. When he returned to his home congregation and delivered his first sermon, he held that nickel up high before him and told them how it came to be his. And then he told of his plan to return to the Pine Ridge Reservation the next summer and to build a dining hall for that same community center. The pastor did that something that seems so bold most pastors would never have considered it for fear it may have cost them their jobs. But the pastor asked the people in the worship that Sunday to reach into their pockets and their purses and to count the cash that was there. "I invite you," he said, "to follow the example of that little girl. I invite you to give half of the cash you have with you this morning toward the building of that community center dining hall." Grown men began to weep. Women began to squirm in their seats. The people's discomfort began to escalate, probably in direct proportion to the amount of cash they were carrying in their pockets and purses. But then the offering was through, and when the news of the little girl's gesture spread through the small community, by Friday afternoon, more than $22,000 had been given to that cause. That story brought to mind the question, have you ever wondered why some people give? Have you ever analyzed why you give? Sometimes it is because we have extra and it seems like the right thing to do. Sometimes it is because we have been moved, because something has touched our emotions deep within us. And even if we can't really afford it, we give anyway. Sometimes we give simply because giving is the most articulate way we know of saying thank you. It's a form of gratitude, really. Giving is a natural response when we have received much. The truth is, we can never celebrate what we give until first we celebrate what we have. That is the biblical principle I want to ask us about or investigate this morning. And do we truly believe that? Do we never celebrate what we give until we celebrate what we have? That little girl on the Pine Ridge gave that pastor a nickel, joyfully gave him that nickel because of the recognition that she had been blessed with too. Jesus and his disciples were sitting that day that I just read about across the street from the treasury. As people were giving their gifts in front of the synagogue, there was this large receptacle into which they placed their tithes and offerings. We have plates. They had this more than just a collection box. It was a giant horn-shaped cylinder made of copper. It's kind of like a tuba in a marching band. And there was Jesus watching the wealthy and the proud tossing in their temple tithes. And they were wealthy and proud, for when their offerings rattled down that tuba, it would make a wonderfully loud clattering sound. Everyone in the neighborhood heard what they had given, and it made them proud indeed to hear that sound. But then this widow woman approached the temple treasury, and carefully she reached into her purse or her satchel, whatever she had, and she pulled out two copper coins, two that were so small, so insignificant, that nobody even noticed when she dropped them into the tubas. Nobody noticed except Jesus. And before she slips into the crowd, Jesus points her out to the disciples. Do you see that woman over there? She has put in more in that offering box than the rest of us combined. And the disciples looked at one another and they figured, what is he talking about? Surely Jesus doesn't know his math. The woman had only given a couple of denarii, a couple of pennies, and the others had given thousands of dollars worth of silver. But Jesus reminds them, it's not about math, it's about attitude. All the others gave from their excess. It was their overflow, their discretionary income, pocket change to them. But this woman was poor, and yet she gave everything she had. Now, I told you earlier that there was this biblical principle when it came to giving. We cannot celebrate what we give until we celebrate what we have. And that seems to describe the little girl from Pine Ridge who gladly gave away one of her nickels to the pastor, because she recognized she had two. The principle seemed to work in the pastor's community, where they gave $22,000 because it was only half of their loose change in their purses and pockets. But how does that principle work when a woman gives away everything she had? Kind of reminds you of the story that Tom told about the giving tree. It doesn't work unless we're not seeing the same blessings that she sees. Maybe her blessings can't be quantified in dollars or denarii or real estate. Maybe they are intangible. What is she celebrating that we cannot see? First, she seems to be a woman of faith. Perhaps she's celebrating that. God had chosen her as a daughter and promised that though she was a widow, she had a special place in God's kingdom, a place that will last forever. Perhaps she had a circle of friends who had committed to care for her, to meet her needs, to make certain that she would never be in want. That was especially important for widows and orphans in Jesus' time. Maybe she just believed that God would provide. Wherever those 2 denarii came from, more would come tomorrow or the next day. Kind of a twist in the manna in the wilderness story in the Old Testament. Whatever the woman's circumstances, she defied the perception that only wealthy people can give. She seemed to be celebrating something far more valuable than silver or gold. So I wonder what we celebrate. I mean, if that biblical principle is true, that we cannot celebrate what we give until we celebrate what we have, what do you and I have that is worth celebrating besides the silver and gold? Think about this. If we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, then the most significant thing we celebrate is our salvation. We don't have to wonder where we will spend eternity. We don't have to strive to please God with our perfect lives because our sins will not be held against us. God has promised to forgive all the mistakes, all the disobedience, and all the hurtful things we have done or said in this life, and has marked us as God's daughters and sons. Think about and celebrate this. We enjoy freedom. We live in a prosperous nation. Think about it. Whether you came here by birth or by boat, your life is blessed by the world's standards. We have the best health care. We have free education for our children and the privilege of worshiping in whatever manner we choose. And in large part, as we remember this day, we owe that not only to God, but to the men and women of our armed services who protect those freedoms. Barry showed me a picture of his son-in-law coming home from Afghanistan. And a wonderful picture it is that he gets to come home. But there are so many others out there who are not ready to come home. We thank the Lord for those people this day. Celebrate this. In our church, we are part of a family of faith that cares deeply for one another. We commit to nurturing our children, encouraging our teenagers. When we rejoice, countless others rejoice with you. When you weep, you'll never weep alone. When you are in need, there will be someone there with a hug or a hot dish or laughter or a prayer or a quilt or an encouraging word. You see, all of this is the other nickel. When we consider what portion of our financial blessings we will share with the church in the coming year, we must first look in the other hand and celebrate the blessings we find there. So I ask you to pray about it. Look at all that God has given to us. And then ask God what your response might be. Whatever you arrive at, trust that God will take your gift and multiply it 1,000 times. And in this way, we will celebrate the gifts we have been given. Thanks be to God. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed found in your bulletin. Or not in the bulletin, but in your aids to worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let's remain standing as we sing our next hymn, our hymn of response number 533, O Perfect Love. Please be seated. We have a couple of prayer concerns, but before we begin our prayers of the people, I always like to recognize in whatever church that I'm serving, especially on the Sunday nearest to Veterans Day, our veterans. And so, would all of our veterans that have served in any of the branches of our armed forces please stand and be recognized. We are blessed by your service and give you thanks for your dedication and sacrifice. And we'll remember you in prayer too. We do have a couple of, one prayer concern that's been made known to me before the service, and that is for the family and friends of Melinda Scott, who passed away, and we want to keep her family and friends in our prayers. Do we have any other additional prayer concerns or joys that anybody? Yes, Gabe. Wonderful. Thanks be to God. Okay, who does? They are always a witness to the power of the resurrection and a celebration of people's lives, and that's wonderful to hear. Okay. Any other additional prayer concern? Yes. Uh-huh. family of Stephen Collins. That's it. Okay. We will keep him in our prayers. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Tom. He is. Okay. Over here or?
Here in town.
Here in town. Okay. All right. Yes, Joyce. Oh, gosh. Okay. I spoke to her on the phone, and she said she was bruised up pretty bad. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Anybody back there? All right. Let's turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Author of all creation and sovereign over all creatures, we praise you for your goodness and give thanks for your mercy. We give thanks that in Christ Jesus you have called us to be disciples and that you delight to fill us with your Holy Spirit who prods us to greater faithfulness. We give thanks for Jesus Christ who calls us to be caretakers of the treasures that nature provides. Help us through him to relinquish our lust to control all that we see. Make us responsive to what is around us so that we may sanctify that we see. Make us responsive to a world rather than subdue it. Rely on the created order and not always to have to remake it. And support the natural course of events rather than always subjecting them to our purposes. Sanctified by Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, we give you thanks for your Holy Spirit who reconciles us anew with your will. Through the Spirit, transform our surroundings from the mundane to the sacred so that in all we do, we can respond to your divine trust. And help us to trust in you. In times of mourning, Lord, we lift up to you the loved ones of those who have passed, but we come with confidence, we come with celebration for the life that they lived, for their part in our holy journey, for the opportunity that we have to praise you, for the blessed assurance that through Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, they live now eternally with you. We give you thanks for the family and for Joyce Crawford, for Sue Wickers, for Odell Bradley, for Melinda Scott, for Steve Collins, and we ask your strength as they go, as his family and friend, or all of their family and friends, go through their mourning process. We give you thanks that Gail was able to celebrate the love and the gifts of her beloved family member. Help us all to celebrate those who have passed and give you thanks for their lives and their contribution. Lord, we also ask that you would be with our loved ones, both those we mention and those we hold in our hearts that for one reason or another are suffering physical maladies and are in need of your healing mercies. We ask that you would be with Tom, with Amy, with Lisa, with Charles and Lib, with Matthew, Diane, both Dianes, East and Hottenstein. Be with Mary Jo and Gail, with Beth and Bill, with Jane, with Ellen, with Lee and Dana. Continue to comfort Freel and Ella and Jim. And we give you thanks for wonderful health professionals who have been able to help Joe and Claudine, Ben, Helen, Jay, and Nulty. This day especially, Lord, as we lift up our veterans and all those who have served this country and have worked for the peace of this world. We give you thanks for their sacrifice, for their sense of duty. And we ask that you would keep them all safe, and yet we know that they go to the most dangerous places of the world, so that we might join together, worshiping, living together in peace and harmony. Or at least that's what we hope. We ask and give you thanks for the first responders in this community, for we know that there is not always peace and hope, and yet they are there to respond in times of emergency, in times of danger. Bless them in all that they do and keep them safe as well. Lord, hear our prayers. And be with us as we join together. Oh, also remember Sandra. We almost forgot her, but we want her healing mercies for her as well. Be with us now as we join together as your people, praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to do a little something different today. And, you know, when you're an interim pastor, you can do kind of wacky things. And hopefully this doesn't throw everybody for a loop. But we are going to first have our regular offering. The ushers will come forward. And please hold your pledge cards. Don't put them in the offering plate yet. Just put in your regular offering for this week. And then we're going to do something entirely different to kind of rededicate ourselves to the mission of First Presbyterian Church. And you'll need your pledge card for that. So please hold your pledge card and we'll just receive this week's offering at this time. So would the ushers please come forward? Is it working? Yep. All right. Well, this is something that I've never tried before, and I hear you all have never tried before, but I liked it, and I was thinking about it as I was working on the sermon this week, and we don't have any brass tubas to put our offering in or anything, but we do have these little baskets up here, and we do, rather than parading up or having the ushers come out and get pledge cards, because not everybody probably remembered their pledge card, and some of you are guests and are visitors today, and but you're still part of the family of God. And so what I'd like us to do is, choir included, we have to move a little bit. And that's never a strength of Presbyterians in worship. But I'd like us to form two rows down the middle of this church. I was thinking of Miss Hall, and Miss Hall has some mobility issues. And if we meet in the center aisle here, then we can include her, and she doesn't have to move. So what we're going to do is we're going to face each other. Bring your pledge cards and make everybody come down. You guys have to come down. These folks have to go over here. You all have to come over here to the middle of the aisle and just form two large lines. And if we have to, we'll come all the way up into the chancel. That would be a great thing to have to do. So at this point, if you're over here, come to this part of the aisle. If you're over there, come to that part of the aisle and face the middle of the aisle. You guys, come on over here. Come on out. Scrunch up a little bit if you have to. We got some room up here if you need to keep moving this way. I think everybody's in. Oh, here comes Mary Ann. I saw her go that way. Come on up this way a little more if you need to. We can come up this way. All right. She's going to go out the door. Okay. All right. As beautiful as the music is, Heather, come on. Come on, be a part of the line. First thing I want you to do is to look across the aisle at your brother or sister in faith and say thank you to God for you. And at this point, we're going to start Gene would kill me if we didn't start the baskets down the aisle. And like I said, if you're a visitor or you're just, you haven't joined the church yet, you come all the time, we'd love to have you as a member of the church, but you are all, like I said, a part of the family of God. Don't feel intimidated. We're not, like I said, we're not passing brass tubas to hear the clinks today. So just if you have your pledge card, put it in the basket and pass it down the aisle, and when they get to the end of the aisle, we'll have our prayer. Because everybody, you know, some have, not everything you give will be on that card to this congregation. And hopefully not everything this congregation will share with you is on a card. We share our love as well as our dedication. And make it all the way to the end there, almost. There we go. Okay. All right, well, and this is once again, I know it's flu season, but grab the hand of the person next to you. Gotcha. All right, and let us pray. Lord God, we are blessed to be a part of First Presbyterian Church, whether that is as a visitor, a member, a guest. We give you thanks for all that you do through this church, and we ask that you would rededicate us to its mission, would bless all that we do, not only in this congregation, but throughout the world. Help us to remind ourselves that we are part of these brothers and sisters that have been put in this place and at this time to do your work, to share your love, to show your love. Bless all that we do to your greater glory, so that all may know of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Now you can go back and sit down. I don't know. The people in the balcony might want to just stay downstairs since we're almost finished. Like I said, the benefit of being an interim is you never have to do it that way again. But hopefully I'll ask for forgiveness if it caused you distress today. Let's stand and sing our final hymn, one of my favorites, number 276, Great is Thy Faithfulness.